must attend. At that time, as Jesus was coming near Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. St. Paul says, When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you also will appear with him in glory. St. Paul is referring to the Lord's second coming, or his second appearing, or his second epiphany. But at his ascension, the angels say to the disciples, this Jesus will come or appear in the same manner that you just saw him going into heaven. Now here is how Acts describes the manner of the Lord's ascension, which is the manner of his second coming. It says, while they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud received him into itself, so that he was hidden from them. And as they were gazing up into heaven, he went up into heaven. This cloud that received the Lord into itself was the Holy Spirit. Now, the manner of the Lord's ascension takes us back to Epiphany, the Lord's first appearing at the Jordan. And St. Mark says, And as he was coming up from the water, the heavens were opened, and the Spirit came down upon him as a dove. So at the ascension, the Spirit receives the Lord as a cloud, as he is taken up into heaven. At his baptism, the heavens are opened, and the Spirit descends upon Jesus and rests upon him, and then leads him into the wilderness in the same manner that he is taken up by the cloud into the open heavens at his ascension. My point is that the manner of the Lord's second appearing and of his ascension is of the same manner as his first appearing at the Jordan. It would appear then to be of the utmost importance that we attend to the manner of the Lord's first appearing, if we want to prepare the paths of the Lord and be taught by the Lord's own Spirit, not by the Spirit of our own wisdom, but by the Spirit of the Lord. What are these paths that he made known to Moses, which we are to make straight, and so make ourselves ready to appear with him, or to be taken up into the cloud of his glory at his second appearing? We read in the Psalms, Teach me to do thy will. Let thy good Spirit lead me on the path into the land of righteousness. In other words, into the inheritance promised to Abraham. You see the parallel. The Lord, the Spirit leads the Lord into the wilderness. The Spirit takes the Lord up into heaven. The psalmist prays the Spirit to lead him into the land of righteousness. But we read in the Psalms that the Lord himself is the portion of my inheritance. From this psalm, St. Macarius the Egyptian, writing in, what was it, the 4th century or so, 3rd century, says, the Lord himself is the home of the baptized. He is their tabernacle and their city. They are clothed with a habitation from heaven not made with hands. The glory of the divine light, having been born from above as children of light. They put on Christ and they receive him in Holy Eucharist. Again, St. Macarius says, the whole coming of the Lord, the whole first appearing of the Lord, was for man's sake. Man who lay dead in the grave of the darkness of sin, of the unclean spirit, and of evil powers, that now in this world he might raise man up and make him to live, and cleanse him from all blackness, and enlighten him with his own light, and clothe him in his own garments, the heavenly garments of his own divine nature. In other words, the Lord came to take those who receive him up into heaven in the cloud of his glory, his Holy Spirit, that they might appear with him in the glory of his Holy Spirit. So, where do we find this path that would take us up to heaven with the Lord in the glory of his Holy Spirit? That should be the central question of every Orthodox Christian. Where do I find that path? And how do I get on it? Of the Lord's first appearing, we read that St. John the Baptist was baptizing in the wilderness when Jesus came or appeared and was baptized. The church's liturgical texts tell us also that Jesus was naked when he was baptized in the wilderness. Remember that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, their eyes were opened. And remember what they saw? Did they see the heavens opening and the Spirit descending from on high and resting upon them? No. What they saw was that they were naked. The church teaches us that this means that they had been stripped of the divine glory that had clothed them. The Spirit of God left them. That meant there was no divine life in them anymore. So that they were naked meant that they were stripped of the life and glory of the Spirit in which they had come to be. Remember, they did not become living souls until God breathed into them the breath of life, the Holy Spirit. And so what? They became a spiritual, shall we say, wilderness? Just as we read in the Psalms, my soul thirsts for thee, my flesh faints for thee, as in a dry and weary land where no water is. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, says St. Paul, in those days, Jesus came, says St. Mark. Where did he come? Where did he appear in those days of John the Baptist? He appeared in the wilderness. Brothers and sisters, if at his conception and birth of the Blessed Panagia, the Word of God united all things in himself, then where did he appear spiritually when he appeared in space-time in the wilderness? He appeared in the wilderness of the soul, where there were no living waters of the Holy Spirit. He who is the resurrection and the life came to that point in our soul where we were sitting in the region and shadow of death, as we read 2 Sundays ago. In other words, he came into the tomb of our heart, where, as St. Paul says in Ephesians, we were dead in our sins and trespasses. The path that ascends to heaven, this path that we're trying to find, is Christ himself. As he says in the Gospel of John, I am the way. No one comes to the Father. No one goes into heaven apart from me. And he, the path, where is he found? Where is he found? He's found in the wilderness of our soul. If then we are to appear also with him in glory, as St. Paul says, that we may be taken up to heaven in the cloud of glory, his Holy Spirit, where must we appear? Where do we have to go? Look at this morning's blind man, together with last Sunday's rich ruler. I don't think that we see the ruler coming to Jesus in the wilderness of his soul. I think we see him in the city. He's not in the wilderness, he's in the city of his material wealth. But I think his material wealth is but the face of his idolatry. And I think that the idol that he worshipped was himself. He himself is the treasure of his heart. He appears before the Lord clothed in the fig leaves of his high opinion of himself, which I say he wore like Adam and Eve to hide from the nakedness of his soul and from God. And so it made him blind, so that he saw Jesus only as another rabbi. He says, rabbi, good teacher. Only as a kind of a Jewish guru. He could not see that Jesus is himself the life that he thought he was entitled to inherit. How then could he possibly inherit Jesus when he was the idol of his heart? How could he possibly inherit Jesus, the eternal life that he sought, without selling all that he had, without divesting himself, without becoming naked of his pride, of his high opinion, in order to follow Christ and not the wisdom of his own opinions? Now look at the blind man in this morning's gospel. He was a beggar, it says. Can we say that his poverty was the face of his inner brokenness, the idol of his ego having been broken by his suffering? So he was naked. And in the poverty of his blindness, he could see. It says that he was sitting by the path, begging. So can we say that he was sitting in the region in shadow of death? And he was blind. It was dark inside. He couldn't see anything. And he could see that he couldn't see. I think that's the point. He could see that he was naked. He was sitting by the path that the Lord was walking on. So that means, can we say that he was sitting by the path of the Lord? The path that the Lord made known to Moses, the path that is Jesus Christ himself, the way to the Father. It says, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Remember when Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Father coming to them in the garden, that they quickly put on some fig leaves and they hid. But here in this morning's gospel, it says, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, the Word, the voice of the Father, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, notice he did not hide in fig leaves of self-esteem, nor did he justify himself, as did the rich ruler and Adam and Eve. Rather, he called out to the Lord with the psalmist, Lord, I call unto thee, hear me. His cry was from the regions dark and deep, from the tomb of his heart. There in the wilderness of his soul, he heard the voice of the Lord calling him. And it says that he was led to him. He was led to him, and we received his sight. Can we say that In this case, it was the Holy Spirit that appeared to him in the form of a people that grabbed him by the hand and led him to Christ. He was enlightened. He became a child of the light. Brothers and sisters, at our baptism, we put on Christ. And we were anointed with the Holy Spirit, who settled on us like a cloud of glory, like the dove that rested on Jesus. Do we now begin to see that when he appears, we will appear with him in his glory only as we follow him into the wilderness of our soul and into the lower parts of the earth. In other words, into the tomb of our heart. That means that we have to turn around and we have to confront ourselves. We have to acknowledge our nakedness. We have to confess our sins in a broken and contrite heart. When Christ, who is our life, appears, says St. Paul, we came from the earth, as we read in Genesis, but we were made living souls by breathing in the Spirit of God. If the goal of human life is theosis, becoming one with God in Christ, not inheriting some eternal life that's an abstraction, you know, that is this energy field that Jesus is telling us about, but to inherit eternal life that is Jesus Christ himself, and to become one with that life, to become alive in that life, to live in that life, so that it's no longer we who live, but Christ who is living in us. If the goal of our life is this theosis, then our life in this world is all about putting to death what is earthly in us. The thorns and the thistles, the fornication, wrath, uncleanness, passion, malice, covetousness, blasphemy, filthy talk, and all the rest of the things that St. Paul lists for us in this morning's epistle. To put to death what is earthly in us. That's what this life for us is all about. That's what we should be engaged in. That should be the principal work of our life as Orthodox Christians. Putting to death our death. So that the Spirit of Christ would begin to live in us. It is for that purpose that the Spirit would lead us into the wilderness of our soul and into the tomb of our heart. The prayer by which we keep on the path of Christ that leads into the wilderness of our soul is not that of the rich ruler. Remember what he said, all of these commandments I have kept. So come on, give it to me. I'm entitled to it. No, the prayer that we are to pray is the prayer of the blind man. The prayer of the heart is what it's called in the church. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Perhaps we could therefore rephrase St. Paul's words to us this morning to show forth and to intensify their meaning for us as we draw near to the gates of Great Lent. I know it's a far way off. It's 7 weeks away. But we could start now to get ready, start making those paths straight, and preparing the way of the Lord in our heart. We could rephrase St. Paul. Therefore, put to death what is earthly in you, so that when Christ our life appears, you may appear with him in the glory of his Holy Spirit. Does this sound like an abstraction? Beloved faithful, the church makes it real. In the disciplines of Great Lent, and in the liturgical cycle of Pascha. That's where we're going, brothers and sisters. That's where we're going in Great Lent. The church is leading us into the wilderness of our soul. And on Holy Week, she's bringing us into the tomb of our heart. Let's back up. Let's say on the last Saturday of Great Lent, Lazarus Saturday. She's bringing us into the tomb of Lazarus as into the tomb of our heart so that she can raise us up and take us from there into the tomb of Christ so that we can enter into the gates that open unto the kingdom of heaven. In the glory of Christ, in the glory of his Holy Spirit. So, if we want to do this, just do what the church tells us to do. Take up your cross. Do the ascetic disciplines of the church, mindfully, from the heart. And just do what the church tells you to do. And she will take you to the tomb of your heart and into the resurrection of Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory
to God. Amen.